Okay, we want to say good evening and welcome back to an understanding of God's Word. We're truly happy to be here tonight. And we just pray that these teachings thus far has pricked the hearts of men and women, because we're not just here just to do it. We're here because the Lord has equipped us and has called us, and He has a message to the church. And so that message is we have to go back to our first love, and we have to keep Him on the throne of our hearts, dominating our lives day after day after day. Amen.
Amen.
So the only what we have are responsible for is to make sure we're under the right teaching, verbal message. We have to make sure that the Word of God is pure, unadulterated. See,
yes.
Satan is very clever, and we said this before as we were talking about the spirit of, that work in the children of disobedience. We're talking about the spirit of Antichrist, which governs and rules this world system. And so he's very clever, and he knows how to pull man off of God's agenda, God's purpose. The Bible declares that we are to be seated in heavenly places with Christ. And Satan's objective is to pull us from that position. And he wants to get our minds away from heavenly things,
mm-hmm.
heavenly perspectives. And he wants to put it on those things that are earthly, sensual and temporal, meaning
mm-hmm.
dealing with our feelings, see? And so in dealing and talking with about the spirit of Antichrist, last week we were talking about how man is supposed to be crucified with Christ along with the passions and lust. And if we're not allowing this process to take place in our life, we will give in to the pressure that's in the world system. And we were talking about that spirit that works in the children of disobedience, the spirit that operates in this world system controls. And we said last week, just to recap, that if you're not in Christ, you are automatically controlled by the spirit that works in this world system. Everything about the spirit of the world system is controlled by Satan. Well, it doesn't matter what it is. How it's a spirit that's controlling the everything, how the system of this world is ran. So from the day that we're born, and we're indoctrinated from a child on up until we come to the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So what God has to do is God has to renovate our mind, our thinking, and get us to think like Christ, to put on the mind of Christ. And so Paul, as we stated before, would travail with the Christians that were new converts. He would travail as if in birth pain, because he said, until Christ be formed in you.
Yes.
They were getting saved, but then they were going to works and religious activities, and the work of the Spirit for transformation was not taking place in their life. Grace had become frustrated. Grace had stopped flowing in them. So the work of grace, they were saved, but the work of grace ceased to work as far as bringing about deliverance, bringing about a transformation in the thinking. So if you're not being transformed and changed from the inside out through the message of the cross being preached for sanctification on a day-to-day basis, then your mindset is the same as the world system that which you came out from. Remember, we're in a process or a state of forever being changed.
Amen.
There's stuff in us, and we call it the flesh. And the reason why we say the flesh is because it's not under the subjection, nor is it submitted to the doctrine or the teachings of the cross. And God wants to be Lord over all of our lives.
Amen.
See? And in order to be Lord over our life, we have to freely submit. See, God doesn't want robots. He doesn't want anybody to force us. Satan is a taskmaster. He demands, he forces, he drives us. And so therefore there was a thing called groupthink. And if you're not transformed from the inside out, you can't stand up to the pressure that the world put on you and I to conform and to believe and to embrace whatever it promotes.
Amen.
That's through television, that's through radio, that everything about it, whether it's movies, whether it's the news, whether it's it's corrupt. And when I say mainstream, I mean the popular, that which is promoted and the majority in the world system that that we see on a day-to-day basis, that which the world embraces. If you think about kids or youth, they are so eager to embrace the celebrities, the way they dress, the way they talk. Why is that? Because it's like everybody has an identity crisis. Everybody's trying to find out who and what they can be like. And so we change our styles so we can look like whoever mainstream promotes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're all, even the fashion, we want, it doesn't matter who made the clothes. I mean, it doesn't matter. You can have a top quality brand or style of clothes, but don't have a name brand on it.
Mm-hmm.
We after the name brand. See, nothing wrong with it. I'm not saying there's nothing wrong, but you can make a car that's just as sturdy and expensive as Mercedes or a BMW or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But don't have that BMW or Mercedes symbol on it. We don't think much of it, right?
Yes.
That's how we're wired. We're wired to. It's about, man, that's the pride of life. We want that thing that makes us look good, promotes us.
Yes.
And that's what God says, you must decrease. And we're
mm-hmm.
not saying not to have those things. Some of us have some of those things. It's not, but those things shouldn't have us, okay?
Right.
So nothing wrong with it. And so, but the problem is the pride of life, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes. So when we're after those things to promote self, that's what makes it the work of the flesh, because we want our desires over the desire and will of God. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
So last week, I think we stopped and we were in 1 John 3 and we were talking about how the love of Christ is not naturally in the believer. And this is why we're going this route with the Antichrist, because the Antichrist uses deception. The spirit of Antichrist is here in effect now. The Antichrist is not on the scene. And during the Great Tribulation, the purpose of the Great Tribulation is for all Israel to be saved. Right now, the Jewish community have not embraced Christ as the Savior. They're still God's chosen people. He will honor his word, but as far as salvation, they are not saved. Paul said his heart's desire was that Israel might be saved. They rejected Christ as the Messiah in his first advent. So the nation as a whole, now there are some Jews who have given their lives to Christ, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Individuals, what we're talking about tonight is the nation as a whole. They do not recognize Christ as Messiah. They do not recognize the New Testament. They only recognize the first five books of the Bible, okay? So they're still looking for a Messiah, right? So the job of evangelizing the world, God had to he had to put them in spiritual timeout because they dropped the ball. They disobeyed God. They forsook him, but they embraced his ceremonial worship, and we read in Isaiah 1 last week how they had turned their backs on him, but they never stopped going through the act or the motion of worship according to his standards. See, so what's the point? They renounce Christ or God, but they still continued in his form of worship.
Now, that's amazing.
Right. And what are we doing today?
Right, you're right. The same
we,
thing.
Many people, right, they have renounced God in their hearts because they refuse to change.
Mm-hmm.
By the gospel. They're refusing to be changed by the gospel, but yet they go through the motion of, I go to church. I'm
mm-hmm.
a member of this denomination. I pay my tithes. So you see, we're doing the same thing. We renounce God in our hearts. But externally, because man wants to promote self and pride of life and ego, we have to look the part.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So we'll hold the titles and the position, but yet our hearts are far from him.
Amen.
Okay? So we were talking about the children of, he was saying, in this manifest the children of God and the children of the devil. And it says, whosoever, and we'll start at verse 10, Sister Cherry. Verse 9. I know I said 11. We'll start at verse 9.
Okay. Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God.
All right. So the whole point and purpose of being in Christ and being born again is to overcome sin and not practice it. If you find yourself practicing sin and you're okay with it, what did he just say? Whosoever is born of God does not what?
Sin.
Does not commit sin. And that word means does not practice sin. Why? Because his seed is in him.
Yes.
And this seed refers to the word of God. And he cannot sin. Says cannot continue to practice sin. So when I get saved, I am not to continue in sin. I am not to continue to practice sin. Now, we will sin. We will fall short. And we said this before. But it's not a habitual sin, you wanting to do things or continue. It may be a struggle. It may be a dislike. It may be that you don't want to do it, but you find yourself doing it. But there is no desire to do it, see?
Mm-hmm.
To practice sin means that you just do it and say, "I'm okay. It's okay because I like it. This is what I want to do." That means that the seed of God, you're not being, if the seed of God is in you, remains in you, either he's frustrated or he's not there.
Amen.
Or you walked away, you see, because his job is to convict. And we don't know at what point and where people are. That's up to God. It's not our place.
Yes.
So, but he's telling us here that if you find yourself just wanting to practice and have no conviction, then his seed is not in you.
Amen.
Because he is born of God. The whole point and objective of salvation is to be born again, regened. Keep going, verse 10.
In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil, whosoever doeth not righteousness, is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother.
Okay, and so now he keeps going. He's showing us that when we said before, the natural, the agape love of God is not naturally in anyone's heart. It has to be placed there by the Spirit of God. We have to be converted by his Spirit. But there has to be a mind that desires to be changed. There has to be a heart that desires change. And oftentimes it comes through broken and contrite situations that causes us to become broken and of a contrite heart and spirit, okay?
Yes.
So he tells us not the love not as Cain, who was of that wicked one. I think I heard the recording the other day, and I was saying Abel instead of Cain. And I just want to correct that. We not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother. And it says, and wherefore slew he him? Why did he slay Cain, Abel? Why did Cain slay or murder Abel? It says Cain was not a murderer because he killed his brother, but killed his brother because he was a murderer. So why did he kill him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. See, so anytime you and I take our focus and do off the cross and don't embrace the cross, you will find that the children of the devil will be after you to attack you, to murder, and to stop the work that God has placed in you. See, if you're not of Christ, you're of the devil.
Amen.
If you're not after, your faith is not after that which is of the cross of Christ, then Satan has a license to wreak havoc or use you as a tool. Didn't he use Judas, who was close, a disciple of Christ? Didn't he use Peter?
Amen.
Because they did not understand spiritual things. See, they had an excuse to some extent. I'm not absolving them, but they did not have the Spirit in them because the work of the cross was not complete. They were saved. The Spirit of God came upon them. They were saved, and if they were to die in Christ and believe in Christ, they would have went down straight to paradise in hell. They would not have been able to go up in heaven because the work of the cross was not complete. See?
Mm-hmm.
Once the work of the cross was complete, then the Spirit was able to come in a new dimension, and he could reside in the heart. He was there all along in the Old Testament and throughout the four Gospels, but he could not, up until Christ died on the cross, he could not come to reside in the heart. He was there, and he would work, or he would be in the lives of people to do the work, but he could not do the work of sanctification. That makes sense?
Amen.
So when Christ died, the Spirit of God came in a new dimension and resides in our hearts. And if you read in John, I think it was chapter 20, after Christ was resurrected, shown himself to them, he breathed on them and said, "Receive ye the Spirit." See?
Amen.
And they said, "Ooh, how our hearts did burn." So now they had the Holy Spirit in them, see?
Yes.
So here he says, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one. Had Cain brought the right sacrifice, he would not have been angry, because the lust of his flesh would have been crucified, put to death by the work of the Spirit.
Amen.
See, so, or they say he would not have been agitated by an inward, see, he would not be inwardly agitated by sin because he brought the right sacrifice.
Amen.
But because he did not bring the right sacrifice, inwardly the works of the flesh were at work. It says, because his own works were evil and his brother's was righteous. So it says, it points directly to the cross. The rejection of God's way, which Cain did, is labeled by the Holy Spirit as evil. Abel accepted the cross.
Mm-hmm.
See?
Amen.
Let's keep going with verse 13.
Let's see. You hear how you say that? You say, if you're not of Christ, you are of the devil.
Mm.
Now, we cannot say, well, I'm kind of saved, but then I'm not saved. Because people now, you ask me, say, well, I think I'm saved. But you just, if you're not of Christ, you are of the devil, and you're going to know whether you're of Christ or the devil or not.
Right, because of what they just say in the scripture.
Amen.
In verse 10, what did it say? Whosoever does not righteousness
is not of God,
neither he who loves not his brother.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen. Very good point. So righteousness and love are two manifestations of the child of God.
Amen.
How can I say I love people and I can't even love my brethren?
Amen.
How can I say I love God and I can't love my brethren? See?
That's right.
So verse 13, this is where I want us to see and to be.
Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death.
All right. So notice here it says in verse 13, marvel not, brethren, if the world hates you. So don't marvel if the world hates you. This goes back to the groupthink thing. We are supposed to be I'm not saying that the world's supposed to just not like you, period. But what he's saying here, because just like with Cain and Abel, because of the spirit that's now at work, the spirit of Antichrist in the world system, he promotes things that's ungodly.
Right.
And most of the time, they're good things.
Mm-hmm.
But they appear good, but they have an evil motive.
Amen.
This is what makes it where, see, we see the stuff that's obviously wrong and evil, but most of the time we don't see the evil agenda behind what the world system's promoting.
Amen.
Okay? So we're not seeing the evil spirit, and so we embrace people and things because we see the good. We embrace, oh, that person passed out water, but we don't see the heart.
Amen.
We don't see the true motives behind the heart, but we can see it by the fruit that person bears.
Amen.
So if I keep looking a little longer in the in a spirit, with the eyes of the spirit, you know by the fruit, he said up there in verse 10 that we just read, right?
Mm-hmm.
The two manifestations of the child of God. I don't care how much I preach the cross. I don't care how much I can quote the Bible. If righteousness and love of God, the agape love of God, is not being produced and revealed in my heart and life, then the fruit got to match what I say.
Amen.
Y'all understand? So I can't, if I'm being built up in my most holy faith, I understand. See, my feet has been planted on a solid rock, and I'm becoming to identify and know who I am in Christ. So the world hating me does not cause me to tolerate their sin. I don't give in to the pressure. If y'all listen to some of these organizations, some of these so-called organizations are supposed to be Christian-based and all this stuff, and all of a sudden now they're caving to the LGBT agenda. They're
mm-hmm.
caving to these world system, and these people are saying, you don't love us because you won't play our movies that deal with our lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I think they Chick-fil-A, they affected them, Hallmark station. The first they said they weren't going to air mm-hmm. any, I think it was homosexual movies or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Now they, for the first day, see, they were torn because
mm-hmm.
you had one side saying, no, it's not right. And then the other side saying, no, we want to be seen too. And then they caved to the LGBT agenda. What am I saying? Sometimes we as a church, mainstream church, they're falling prey to this, and they're tolerating people because of their sin.
That's right. Amen.
See, people, they're trying to make you feel bad, saying, oh, you're not showing love because you're against. See, we're not against the people.
Right.
We're against the lifestyle, the sin, the act.
Right.
We love the sinner. All of us have sinned, fallen short. All of us have had some of the same struggles that they may have. But the difference is people have been delivered and changed and did not want to embrace that.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
So we cannot just tolerate and tell you, oh, God is good and he loves you just the way you are without being changed.
That's right.
This nation was built and established on Christianity. I don't care what people try to say. They try to say the Muslims did it or this
mm-hmm.
person did it. No, this nation, if you look at history, accurate history, it was based upon Christianity. And what they're doing now with a lot of the these activists, they're going through the lives of some of the forefathers, and they're trying to say, oh, they had slaves, so that's void the Constitution. Oh, they're trying to pinpoint, look at flaws that individuals had. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And during the time to get us to not embrace what they based their faith upon,
mm-hmm.
Why they built this. They built this nation based upon they left because they wanted religious freedom. But there's a force at work to try to get us to not look at the fact that America was built as a Christian nation. That was,
right.
If you look at all of that. But today, they have moved us further and further away.
Amen.
By causing us to come down from the heavenly places,
yep.
being
Amen.
Seated in Christ, and getting our focus on earthly things.
Amen.
We want to be treated the same. And they're not saying that they want to be treated the same. They want their sin to be treated.
Mm-hmm.
See, they want us to embrace and tolerate sin. Cain wanted God to embrace him as a sinner by rejecting God's sacrifice, which would cover his sin. See?
Amen.
That's what he wanted God. Cain wanted God to come down from his lofty position of holiness, righteousness, and say, okay, Cain, I'll embrace you.
uh-huh.
I'll embrace you and your sin. See, God cannot embrace us with sin. He cannot. He has the only way he can embrace us if our sin has been judged at Calvary.
Yes.
See, there's only one or two places your sin can be. It can be placed on Christ or it can be placed on you. And if it's placed on either, they both had to be, sin has to be judged.
Amen.
And sin was judged at Calvary. See?
Yes.
So there'll be no more death on Christ's part. He died once for all. But if sin remains on me, see, this was Cain's problem. His sin remained on him. I don't care how pretty of a sacrifice he offered. I don't care how much he labored and toiled at it, see? His sin still remained on him, and the proof that the sin remained was that he killed his brother. You see that?
Amen. Yeah.
The evidence that his sin remained on him was the fact that his heart was not changed. See?
Amen. Yes.
So Cain, guess what Abel did? Abel did not give in to the pressure of Cain.
Yes.
Abel offered the right sacrifice, even though Cain was angered.
Amen.
See, this is us in the world. The world is going to be angry because you stand on the truth of God's word and you know your Redeemer, he lives. And because we know our Redeemer lives, the Cain of the world system, he's a wicked one, and he will try to slay because the spirit of Antichrist is at work. The spirit behind the LGBT agenda is the spirit of Antichrist. It is against God. It opposes God. See?
Amen. Yes.
See, this is the spirit of Antichrist. And this full-blown spirit or the full-blown presence of the Antichrist will be revealed once the church has been taken or raptured out. The Bible says, we read it before, that we are what withhold the Antichrist from being revealed. We hinder evil. See?
Amen.
It is us, the church. So when we stand with the right sacrifice, although Abel lost his life, Abel's in the presence of God.
Yes, amen.
But Abel stood, and he says in verse 13, "Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you." If Cain, if Abel was more concerned about Cain's hate towards him, guess where Abel will be today? He wouldn't be with Christ in the
amen.
Presence of God.
Right.
So he tells us he lost his life, but guess what? He gained his eternal soul in heaven.
Amen.
So what am I saying? He says, don't marvel, my brethren, if the world hates you. Expect no better treatment from the world than Abel received from Cain. So why are we caving to the pressure of this world system? Why are we giving in? See, I think about the Galatians. The Christians in Galatia, and Paul said, who's bewitched you? Who has hindered you that you should not obey the truth? I preached the cross of Christ, right, as if he was right before your very eyes, and now you're resorting to circumcision? You're putting your faith in what you do? And this is the spirit of Antichrist. It's trying to take you from the position of being crucified with Christ to get your focus on earthly things.
Amen.
On you trying to save yourself, fix yourself, cleanse yourself, redeem yourself, see?
Mm-hmm.
The world system puts a pressure on us, and many people can't go upstream because everything and everybody is coming down, going downstream. It is hard to go against that force that's coming down. And the only way you and I can go against the grain is if we're standing in Christ. You
Amen.
See, we'll mount up on wings of eagles.
Amen.
We'll run and not be weary. We'll walk and not faint. See?
Yes.
So let's go to John 15. He says, marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. John 15. And we'll go to... start at verse, I think, 18.
If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were...
Okay, I'm going to stop right there, Sister Cherica. Notice what he said. If the world hates you, and the note says, as it definitely will, if you make Christ and the cross the object of your faith, what did Abel do? He made the cross the object of his faith. Now, remember, the Old Testament saints, they put their faith in a coming Redeemer. God explained to them what the sacrifice pointed to, who it pointed to, and what he would do. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So their participation in this ceremonial sacrifice and process proved that their faith was in the cross. Okay, so here it says, if the world hates you, if Cain, the spirit of Cain hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Why did the world hate Christ? It said, the world refuses to admit it is so evil that God would have to become a man and die on a cross in order that man might be saved. Therefore, Christ bears the brunt of that animosity.
Wow.
See? Keep going, Sister.
If ye were of the world would love his own, but because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you.
So why are we trying to be a part of the world? I look at the Joel Osteens.
Mm-hmm.
I look at some of the other big-time ministries, how they have reduced their values, their standards, so that they can embrace
the world.
Wow. System.
Amen.
See, he said, if you were of the world would love his own. So that means they're of the world.
Amen.
And it says the world loves its own and its own loves the world. But if you're in Christ and you're growing, let me put it that way. If you're in Christ and you're growing, it says in verse 19, but because you are not of the world, because you refuse to accept the proposed solutions presented by the world, what happened?
The world hated.
He says, but because you are not of the world, and but I have chosen you out of the world.
The world hated you.
Right. Therefore, the world hates you. So this animosity should be expected. So why is it that, why isn't it that many Christians aren't standing? Why is it that we don't find too many Christians standing on truth when the world is up, it's up in arms and in an uproar? Why aren't we standing? Why aren't we standing expecting to be persecuted and have opposition?
Amen.
You see? This is a part of being the light of the world. We have to allow God to shine in us in the most difficult of situations, whether it's in my home, on my job, wherever I go.
Amen.
It says, therefore, the world hates you. Why? Because we're not of it. And see, too many of us have gotten comfortable with this world system.
Mm-hmm.
We
Amen.
Believe everything they tell us to believe. We don't search the scriptures to know the truth. We don't search him to know the truth. Lord, examine me. Make sure I'm in the faith and I'm not looking at this thing wrong. We have to examine it daily. Let God deal with our hearts.
Yes, amen.
Lord, help me make sure my biases and opinions are not getting in the way of what your word declares. You see?
Yes.
Verse 20, keep going.
Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also.
Now notice, we're not greater than Christ.
No, amen.
Everything Christ encountered, the opposition, the ridicule, the persecution. He said, remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord.
Amen.
It says, there it was used concerning humility. Here it is used, talking in John 13:16. It was the word, that same scripture or that word was used to show that it was concerning humility. But in this scripture, it's respecting opposition.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Remember, we are what withholds and hinders evil.
Amen.
So expect the opposition. Expect the persecution. Most of us, we get somebody come on Facebook and disagree with us, and we'll fold up and get mad and pack up. I'm gone.
Yeah.
You see, expect the persecution. It says, if they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you.
Mm-hmm.
He said most of the persecution will come from the world of religion.
Amen.
And I keep going in verse 20, that second half.
they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also.
So they didn't keep Christ's saying, did they? The religious world.
Mm-mm.
And if so, it said they will keep, if they kept his saying, they will keep yours also, meaning that the world, as the world, would not accept our solution of Christ and him crucified. So we shouldn't get discouraged.
Amen.
We should not bow down to them and to the system because they won't accept me. They don't like me. They won't post and respond to my post.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We have to learn to realize that the world does not want to embrace that which is of truth.
Oof, that's right.
They don't want the light. They don't come to the light. Now, some will, and that's why we continue to stand on the truth, because God is speaking to some hearts. He's drawing individuals, see, whose hearts have been receptive to truth, it's receptive to truth. So we don't stop speaking because a few of them don't, they disagree and they're yelling and fussing and mad,
mm-hmm.
and persecuting. We don't stop. We can't stop because,
mm-hmm.
otherwise, if the gospel is hid, it's going to be hidden to those that are lost.
Yes.
See? It says, verse 21.
But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me.
Mm. So why are they doing this again?
Because they know not him who sent me.
Now notice he says, but all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake.
Yes.
What does that mean? It says the name that is held with more love and at the same time more contention is the name of Jesus.
Amen.
So they're saying they're doing it for his name's sake, meaning they're religious, but they don't know him.
Amen.
They said because they know not him who sent me. It said despite the claims of the religious or the religions of the world, if they reject Christ, it means they do not know God. So the Jewish nation who worship and use Judaism, the Islamists that say they love God and embrace Allah and all this, but they reject Christ. See?
Mm-hmm.
It says they will have a religious pretense as if I love God and I'm living for God, but yet because they don't know him who God sent, the above things is what they're going to be doing. And they're going to be persecuting. They're going to be doing all these things to crucify you and I because they don't know him who God sent.
Wow.
If they don't embrace Christ and the cross, they cannot live from. This is why Paul was religious. He had a zeal for God, but yet he killed Christians, people of the way. See?
So many people.
Seen it? Uh-huh.
Is that why they persecute the Christians? Because they don't know him.
Yes.
But the Christians know him. They don't know him. So they think they're doing what is right.
Right, yes. And remember, Israel had renounced God in hearts, but continued in the religious form of worship, but without God, without an intent on changing. And anybody that came against their way, now God had like 613 commands in the Old Testament law. If you look at it, it was because they knew not God, they added more law.
Wow.
They doubled it. I think they tripled it.
Mm-hmm.
And they expected everybody to keep that. Because when you don't know God, you resort to religious works and activities.
Amen.
You come up with rules and regulations. And anybody that comes against it, you are against them. And this is why they hated Christ. He came against their religious the rules that they added to God's original laws. He broke those laws. That's why he didn't break the law, any of God's laws, but they were mad because he broke their laws. You see what I'm trying to say?
Yes, amen.
The laws that they added to God, he broke their tradition. See, he broke their programs and religious activities, which had nothing to do with God. And because he went in there, remember he turned the tables over, he had a whip and was doing all that, and said, "This is a house of prayer, but you have turned it into a den of thieves."
Mm-hmm.
Remember that?
Yep.
They were upset. They were hot at him. And they set out from that day forth to have him crucified. Why? He who hates me, where do we stop? He said, 22. All these, 22, he says, all these things, 21, they will do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him who sent me. If they had come, if I had come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. So he's saying, the sin of rejecting Christ, which is the greatest sin of all, but now they have no cloak for their sin, means that since the cross, the world is without excuse. So they have a greater sin because Christ came in the flesh, told them, spoke to them,
amen.
Told them of the error of their way, and they refused to change. So now there's no cloak for their sin, he's saying. Keep going, 23.
Not 22.
I think I just read that one about the cloak of sin. Did I read it?
Okay, yeah. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. If I had not done, among them the works which none other man did, they had not sinned, but now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father.
You see that? This is a religious people, but they're children of the devil, the spirit of Antichrist. See? They were in a religious organization, but yet children of the devil. You see this?
Amen.
Why was it? Because they had not known Christ. This is why we preach the message of the cross. This is why we're lifting up Christ, not a man, not a woman, not a religious organization. Those things are tools that God will use, but the emphasis should never be on the individuals or the organization or the or whatever.
Amen.
It should always be on Christ and him crucified. So where you attend church and what you hear, it matters. Because if Christ is not lifted up and we say him being lifted up, we're not just saying the name of Jesus. We're saying what Christ came and accomplished. Christ is the source. The cross was the means to our salvation. God, for God so loved the world, he gave who? Christ. His only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
Yes.
The gave means that he gave him up to die or be the sin offering on our behalf, because sin has a penalty. Sin has to be judged, and Christ took that judgment at Calvary. See?
Amen.
And so they hated Christ, and if they hated Christ, they hated God the Father. So you can go back to Islamists, you can go back to the black Hebrew Israelite, and this applies to them because they hate the brethren.
Mm-hmm.
They hate the Jews. They hate anybody outside of their organization. And he said, he who hates me hates my Father.
Amen.
And he said, we are not to love like the spirit of Cain, who killed his brother. See that? So all these religions that claim to love God but yet reject Christ and him crucified, they actually hate God and they hate Christ.
Wow.
And some of it is in this mainstream Christian denominations, whether it's denominational or non-denomination. If we have rejected Christ in the cross, if we have rejected the cure for sin, the remedy for sin, we have rejected and hated the Father.
Wow.
We have embraced our religious organizations and our motives and agendas over the will of God, which is Christ and him crucified.
Amen. Wow.
You see that?
Yes.
So let's go back to 1 John. To any questions? 1 John chapter, was it chapter 3?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Any questions before we move on? I know I get to going sometime, and
I'm just thinking. I was trying to find that scripture what we read where you said we should be be ready for when people start saying stuff. We shouldn't be trying to cower down. We should be ready for it, because it tells in the Bible that we should be ready. You know, we can't cower down and go along with the LGBT or what it is,
right,
or whatever other organization that's out there. That we should be ready to stand. That would mean when in God's army, we have to fight, not fight with him,
right,
but fight the spiritual battles. So we have to be ready to fight.
Right, right. And that fight is a good fight of faith.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's
that
right.
Fight is to constantly keep your mind stayed on Jesus. Don't let these people. Remember when Nehemiah set out to build the wall? And they were working, and here come Tobias and Sanballat, somebody, and they were trying to stop the work, see?
Mm-hmm.
They were trying to stop the work of building the wall. They didn't want the wall. The wall is a defense for a city. If you had a city without a wall, then there was no defense, because anybody could come back and forth, and they could just do anything and destroy. That's why Jericho had this wall, remember?
Yeah, amen.
So borders are fine. Having y'all understand, you don't want everybody to come in and destroy your nation, right?
Uh-huh.
So they built this wall, and they wanted them to stop the work. Satan came in the form of Sanballat and Tobias, I think it was. And it's the same thing as you stated, Sister Chair. The work, we have to continue to fight. And we're not fighting people.
Right, right.
We're not fighting. It's the spirit at work. So when I see the world system and they're promoting and doing, we fight in prayer. We fight through intercession. We see with the eyes of the spirit. So we know what to fight, what to bring to God. And we have to fight or wrestle in prayer, see?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We have to wrestle in prayer for the things of a nation, of our homes, of our cities, of whatever's going on that's trying to destroy.
Yes.
See, this spirit of Antichrist wants to destroy everything that God has ordained and called good.
Amen.
See, he wants to take down everything. He doesn't care about the things of God. He wants to exalt his throne, and whatever it takes, that's what he'll do.
Amen.
See, that's what it, whatever it takes, that's what he'll do. That's why he's destroying the, remember I said we were built on a Christian nation, but he's trying to come up, say, no, it's Islam, they built this nation, and no, it's this and that. No, if we go back and know the truth, know the truth about history and whatever is going on, then you'll be able to recognize what the enemy, how he's at work to destroy the things that God has ordained. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So let me see here where I want to go. Let's go to 2 Timothy right quick, because I want you to see it's important to be rooted and grounded in faith, and it's important to have our object of faith in the cross on a day-to-day basis, because the enemy, knowing how to come in and knowing how to deceive us, he knows what it takes.
Mm-hmm.
To get each of us pulled away from Christ and him crucified, our loyalty from Christ and the cross. So we need to know, we need to be rooted and grounded. And so in 2 Timothy chapter 2, you can see here where, let me get there right quick, where many who started out right, because they didn't become strong in the faith, or in the faith, having the right object, and in the grace of Christ, they were shipwrecked in their faith. So let's keep going. Verse chapter 2, verse 1.
Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the thing that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier.
Okay, let's stop right there now. You were talking about how we have to continue to fight, Sister Cheer.
Mm-hmm.
And he says here, first thing he says, therefore, Thou therefore, my son, be strong. Mm-hmm. That word be strong is be strengthened inwardly. See? In what? In the grace, spiritual blessings, that is to be found only in Christ Jesus. See? Mm-hmm. See, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ. So, with the cross, with your faith in the cross of Christ, the grace of God, the favor of God, the power of God is able to flow freely in your life and make you strengthened inwardly, cause you to be strengthened inwardly. That's how we become strong. The problem that Paul had with those Christians in Galatia and Corinth and whatever, it was that they were not strengthened inwardly. The Corinthians prided themselves in their gifts and ability. They said they could speak in tongues and they could they had all these spiritual gifts. But Paul said, if you can do all those things and have not love, you're just a clanging, sounding brass. That's what he said.
That's right.
So we have to be strengthened inwardly, and it's not about the gifts and the externals, the abilities. See, those things are tools we use to continue to be strengthened.
Amen.
They're tools that we use to be disciplined in the faith. They're not for us to become prideful and arrogant, but we're supposed to be disciplined, okay? And so it says, keep going with it. Did you do verse 2?
Yeah, we went
verse 5,
and I can read it again.
Okay, I'm going to go down and say, and the things that you have heard of me among many witnesses, it says the integrity of the mighty deposit of truth, the same commit thou to faithful men. It refers to others called of God who would preach this great gospel. So we need laborers who will preach the message of the cross. We don't need any more people that just got an ability to squall.
Amen.
You don't need any more people that just got a gift and want to be seen behind a pulpit and want to create a ministry. See, we got enough of that. But we need the power of God to show up in people's lives to transform them so that they can pass this on to faithful men who's able to teach others. See, it should keep going. We shouldn't forever be the same. We should be growing and strengthened where we can be able to continue with this. See, we get weary. We get old. We get frail, and people die out. And so this thing should continue to go. It should continue to ignite others in the faith.
Amen.
That's how it flows. Not for me to just keep it to myself and say, oh, I don't want nobody to get no more than me. Because you have a lot of pastors and ministers in ministry that are afraid that their member is going to outgrow them.
Yes.
It's not about that. You want them to be. You want them to grow. It's not about whether they're going to outgrow you, but it's about committing this gospel to faithful men. It refers to others called of God who will preach this great gospel. And who shall be able to teach others? It says, while many turned away from Paul, the evidence here is that some didn't. They were faithful.
Yeah.
He tells them in verse 3, you endure hardness. See, we're not teaching this enough. We teaching this watered down gospel that everything is happy, happy, good, positive, positive. Nothing should be negative should happen to the Christian. And then when hardness come, suffering, hardship, people give up.
Yes, amen.
They can't endure like a good soldier of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
See? We are called as soldiers, and if you use the analogy of a soldier has to be away from his family, and he can't, when he's in war, he can't have his mind on what's going on at home.
Right.
He can't take his mind from his duty and his call of duty and the commander, the orders of the commander in chief. If he's in a war, he got to keep his mind on that war and staying alive, right?
Amen.
And so if he put his mind on sensual or earthly things, how is he going to endure as a good soldier?
That's right. He can't.
Right. The note says in verse 3, the Roman legionnaires suffered hardship in the service of the emperor. Why not the Christian in the service of the King of Kings?
Yeah.
See? It says, verse 4, no man who wars entangles himself with the affairs of this life. Remember I said we have to keep our mind on heavenly things where Christ is seated.
Amen.
Not on these earthly things. Now, when we're in this, we're in the in this world, but we're not of it. We're going to encounter some things, but we only see them through the eyes of the Spirit. See, so we're going to see situations. We're going to see problems and situations going on in this world system. Doesn't mean you just don't care about nothing. It means that I have to look at everything from a spiritual perspective and from the eyes of Jesus Christ, even sickness. I can't look at it from a perspective of woe is me, self-pity, because now the devil uses, see, self-pity is of the devil. It gets your focus off of God, who is the healer, and it places your focus on yourself. See? And so it says, he says, no man who wars entangles himself with the affairs of this life. A soldier has one thing on his mind, and that is to carry out his duty. The Christian is to have the same motive, the same spirit, and the same consecration. Hence, the apostle using the word soldier. Why is that? That he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. We're in this world. We're not of it. We're in the midst of a crooked and perverse world and church. We just read about the children of disobedience and how those that do righteousness and those that don't. See? Those that are of the devil. Satan has his minions. God has his soldiers. And in actuality, it is good versus evil. We see the movies about it all the time. We see but we're not talking about the characters of Batman and Superman. We're talking about Jesus being in Jesus Christ and how Christ gives us supernatural power to overcome the enemy. You see, remember we read he was manifested to destroy the works of Satan. So why are we fearing? Why are we cowering down when the enemy comes up and threatens us? See, the spirit of Jezebel has caused many of the prophets to flee, the prophets of God to flee.
Amen.
The spirit of Jezebel, which is in this world system, has called well-meaning men and women. Elijah even was afraid for his life because of Jezebel. He had just stood in the midst of a great miracle and mighty work of God, where he stood before hundreds of Baal prophets, and God defeated them. But yet at the cry of Jezebel, the threat of Jezebel, he coward, and he's, oh, she's coming after me. After seeing the mighty work and power of God, we are the same way.
Amen.
And it's because he start focusing on himself and what he was going through. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You and I can't become entangled with the affairs of this. We have to live this life knowing that everything that happens to the believer is either allowed or caused by God.
Amen.
God knows everything. So I can't just sit there and soak in my problems. I got to realize, okay, Father, this is going on. This problem is more than I can handle. We have to take everything to the Lord, and we can't let anything divert us from being a soldier in his army.
Yes.
Amen. Verse 5. Any questions? We're probably going to have to close in a minute. Okay, verse 5.
And if a man also strive for mastery, yet is he not crowned except to strive lawfully?
All right. Now, this striving lawfully means that there's only one way, as we said with Cain and Abel, there was only one thing that God would accept that satisfied him, and that was his sacrifice of his son, the sacrifice of his son. That was the only sacrifice that brought satisfaction.
Amen.
The only way I can strive lawfully for the masters is to be crowned. It says, yet if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. The only way, God is just, holy, and righteous. Remember I said he was not going to come down from his holiness and just position to give, to embrace Cain's offering.
Mm-hmm.
Cain had to come up and embrace his way, see?
Amen. Mm-hmm.
So the way that Cain could have strove lawfully to be accepted in the mastery or in this race or to strive as a believer was to bring the right sacrifice.
Yes.
He could not be crowned unless he lawfully obeyed God's word.
Amen.
See, so you and I, we cannot, even though Esau cried with tears for the birthright, he couldn't get it. He didn't come by faith.
Amen.
He came because he was just upset that he, I don't have the physical birthright, but it had everything to do spiritually. He didn't care anything about it.
Amen.
If he cared, he wouldn't have given it up for some pottage or whatever he had, right?
Right. Amen.
So it says it is the preparation for the contest that is in question, not the contest itself. See?
Mm-hmm.
It's the preparation. Now, notice in verse 6, and we'll finish these and then we'll close. Keep going, please.
The husbandman that laboreth must be first partakers of the fruit.
So it says here, the sowing of seed in order that a crop may ultimately be harvested. If he doesn't strive lawfully, which means to walk after the Spirit, which leads to the cross, there aren't going to be any fruit. So if the husbandman sows his seeds, he got a garden and he sows seeds. If he does not properly do what it takes to get the seed, he doesn't till the ground, he doesn't put the seed in and cover it, if he doesn't water it, if he doesn't allow it to have proper sunlight and do whatever it needs and pull the weeds and blah, 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 he's not going to be a partaker of the fruit, right?
Mm-hmm.
So in order, if he labors and he labors lawfully according to the law of sowing and reaping, he's going to be a partaker. He's the first one to partake of his fruits, right?
Right.
So a lot of people are trying to labor, but they have not allowed the breaking up of the fallow ground of their hearts. They got a hard heart. They have not received with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save the soul. You see?
Amen.
But yet we're trying to preach the truth, but now have not applied the truth. You and I have to be partakers of the fruit.
Yeah.
We have to strive lawfully by evidence and faith in Jesus Christ and Him crucified on a daily basis, and the fruit of that labor to make sure I'm in the faith, to make sure that every circumstance and situation that happened in my life, that I look at it from the perspective of keeping my faith in the cross, no matter how bad it is, no matter how good it is.
Amen.
And on that note, I'm going to have to close. Any questions before we... before we close? All right, we'll take questions and comments at the end of the call. But on that note, we just pray that we said some things that will strengthen you in your walk. The striving lawfully simply means that you and I must come to God the correct way. And we have to have our focus and our object of faith in the cross of Christ in order to partake of His fruit, the fruit of righteousness. Remember, it's the fruit of righteousness and love that reveals the character of Christ.
Yes.
If this work is not of the cross is not taking place in my life, then watch your fruit. That will show you where you stand, what work is happening, whether the work of the cross is taking place or not.
Amen.
Whether grace has been frustrated or not. Amen.
Amen.
All right, so on that note, we're going to close, but we do thank everyone for tuning in tonight. We pray that some things were said that will help you to have a better walk with Christ. And next Tuesday at 6:45, we pray that you'll tune in again to an understanding of God's word. Thank you and be blessed.